Hi, everybody. It's Brian from the podcast you're listening to. We here at Built Sideways have always been about the community, as you well know. And we wanted to do a little something a little out of the ordinary for us, but also in vain with many of the things we've been doing all these years. And that is to have a group build. So our first official Built Sideways group build will be for the Camphor from the 0080 War in the Pocket OVA series from Mobile Suit Gundam. This build off is purely for the spirit of the community and the spirit of the build, and everyone is welcome to it. We are hosting a thread or a conversation on our Discord, so please definitely jump in and join the Discord and go down to the bottom of the stack, and you'll see the Camphor build off under the Built Sideways group build subheading. But to give you the deets on that, it is going to start on May 1st. So you've got a couple of weeks or a week and a half ish to get your kits together for that. I'll give you a little bit of time leeway. That being said, if you do already have a Camphor, you can or a model for it, you can go ahead and snap that up. It's okay. But we're not going to start customizing or doing anything serious until the 1st of May. That being said, any Camphor or Schwer kit is okay to use. You can use any of the high grade kits, the Camphor Amazing, any of the stuff that's out there that is a Camphor. You're welcome to use it. We are including any sorts of aftermarket, any kinds of 3D elements that you want to download and print or purchase or utilize in any way, shape, or form. You can go right ahead and do that. Our timeline is for this build will be 3 months. So it starts on May 1st and it ends, that'd be May to June, June to July, July to August, right? All of May, all of June, all of July. August 1st is the end day. 3 month timeline. Plenty of time to have fun. Definitely don't be afraid to get really, really creative and have a good time with this. Now at the end of the event, so we don't really know of any sort of, like, I don't think there's any awards, right? There isn't really any first place because we're just doing this for fun. So we're going to be doing a live episode of Critical Builds, bringing that back to review all of the awesome kits that everyone puts together and have conversations with the community. As per usual, we'll have an open forum discussion on that where we can do Q&As live and talk to the builders if they tune in and watch us go over and review their kits live. So this is going to be pretty exciting. I'm really excited about it. I know that a lot of the other guys are. We've got, oh gosh, good, probably 6 or 8 people already that have joined into it. So please do look into it. And if you're excited about it or you think you might want to give it a try, jump on in. We're all here to help you if you are stuck with a problem creatively wise, or if you want to work something out, or if you just want to ballpark talk or shoot some shit. Anyways, I've gone on for far too long, and thank you for your time. I'm looking forward to this starting soon, and we'll talk to you guys next time. Enjoy the rest of the show.
I saw this post. When was it? Probably a couple of days ago. About how, so it was about a kid who had just recently discovered putting your wired headphones in your sleeve and out through your palm, so that when you lent your head on your palm on the table, it just looked like you were actually listening to music, right? But this kid was like, he had wired up his AirPods to be wired so that he could pull it to hide it. And I was like, this is a fucking game changer. I was like, dude, welcome to like 30 years ago.
For real.
Honestly, I used to have a classmate. She would have her hair and she'd always have it across her face because she'd have it come around her neck. And then her hair would cover it all up. She couldn't see. She'd be listening to music press. And I'd hear a faint thing. I'm like, what the fuck is that? Look over. I'm like, Jessica, you listen to music? So what are you talking about? And then like later on in the year, she's like, yeah, I've been listening to music the whole time. I was like, I fucking knew it. And back of the room shenanigans, I tell you, man, the back of the class,
dude, that's where for all
the crazy shit happens.
Back of the class, doing like math. Like I get math, right? But like, mm-hmm. I was just like not into it and not into a lot of shit. But I had this class, me and the homie, I'm not going to rat him out. He used to write down answers. Not the cops, just personality, whatever. It's good. He used to write his fucking answers to shit on his fucking shoes. and like right on the, you know, on the like the strip of the like yeah. around your soul, right? Like, just like leg up, just leg up, just like, you know, whatever.
Speaking of math class, have you guys ever got detention for cheating?
No.
So but let me be more specific. Did you ever get detention for giving other kids the answers?
Yeah.
And helping them cheat?
Yeah.
I have. And so because of that, I got sent to the back of the room by myself. So this is like a class of eight kids. So I had to sit in the way, way back against the wall, far away from everybody. So I couldn't give them answers because I was in a bad habit of like, hey, so I'd get bored and be like, hey, let's, let me give you the answer.
Eight kids?
Yeah, it was a small.
Eight?
So because of like, I think it was one of those, I don't remember why, because most of my other classes were like 24 minimum.
Yeah,
like
yeah. Kids. Sorry, that's standard small reason, town. Yeah.
Yeah, for some reason, that class was smaller than usual. And I think it was just because of the period and it was like an intermediate math class. So it wasn't advanced, but it wasn't like the dum-dums. So it was weird how the kids got split. Because all my other classes were large size, like 30 kids, typical.
Yeah. It's just one of those anomalies. Yeah,
exactly. But it was funny because one of my best friends was in the class with me. And one of the other reasons why I got kind of isolated was because we had a habit of fucking around too much. Like, being boys. And so that was our way of isolating me. So I wouldn't cheat and give kids answers and I wouldn't fuck around my friend. But when my dad, she had to call my dad to tell him what I was doing, you know, obviously you got to report these things. Right. And my dad's response was, is he getting paid? So she proceeded to tell me that the next day and goes, now I know why you are the way you are. I am my father's son.
Hey.
What's up, guys? Welcome to the Built Sideways podcast. We are deep into the season. Don't know which episode this is going to be, but we'll just shake it off and carry on. With me tonight, as per usual, our usual cohorts, our compatriots, our fellow ears, people in your ear as they talk. Julio Aponte, clipping nubs.
It's just a bunch of dead air around here.
You got Kyle Harris, the Clueless Gunplot Builder.
I'm in your ear right now. In your ear. You feel me? In your ear?
You right feel now. Me?
And you finally, me? We got Mr. Laser Hands himself, Professor, PhD in plastonomics, Bro Builder, Brian.
With that new flavor in your ear.
Time for new flavor.
In your ear.
So the topic this week is it does pertain a little bit to model making, and we'll talk about a little bit later, but I kind of want to shine the spotlight on one Kyle Harris, if you'll come back to his microphone real quick,
because I'm here with you. I'll be there in a second.
Because he was recently at a convention called Adepticon. So
it's an offset of the Decepticons.
Oh, it's never transformed all up in that bitch.
Yo, you got Transformers listeners getting all up in the huff talking about what faction is that?
What faction is this?
There's the Insecticons, the Predacons, the Decepticons. I ain't hearing no fucking.
What happens is they got a whole
year about spark. The Dodecacons,
Tetrahedrons,
Bodegacons.
Isosahedrons.
And then when you go to Ireland, you get the leprechauns.
So Kyle, you were at the Adepticon as of this recording this past weekend. I kind of would like for you to talk about your experiences as you went there, and then we'll kind of evolve that talk. First of all, why conventions are so important for both our hobby and for businesses that kind of surround our hobby, and we'll kind of just let the conversation blossom and flower from there.
Let
the hate flowing through you.
Okay, so yes, I was at Adepticon over the weekend. It was actually my very first Adepticon, which is kind of odd considering, you know, Pabs and I live very local to Adepticon. It's always hosted in Schaumburg. And I'm kind of kicking myself after all these years of not going because even though I don't play any tabletop games, Warhammer, any of that, I do partake in the mini painting aspect of things. Maybe not directly, but I like to paint minis, more large scale than actual like 40K, 28 millimeter, 35 millimeter kind of things. But essentially, my brother, he does do tabletop games and he lives in Boston and he was going to be in the area attending Adepticon. And so he threw the idea out of us meeting up because we don't get a chance to see each other often. I was like, fuck, this is great. Actually, I've always wanted to go. I've always neglected to take the opportunity because it always slips my mind until after the fact whenever I'm watching like the famous YouTubers like Miniac or Ninjan or any of those guys were like, oh, here's my recap of, you know, Adepticon and Golden Demon and all that. And I'm like, fuck, I forgot that was this last weekend. So I got a chance to spend time with him. He actually does tabletop games. He was doing Infinity, for those who know that tabletop game. I'm not actually familiar with it, but it's one of the popular ones of late.
That's the one with Buzz Lightyear.
No, the other Infinity. I wish I could play tabletop games. Perhaps we should link up and do tabletop games. It looks like so much fun.
Well, yeah, I would basically think I have the money to add another hobby to
just do more commissions. You'll be fine. Just do more commissions.
All you need is a kill team. It's like $35, $50.
Yeah, go on eBay.
It'll be fine. Yeah.
But anyway, so I went there, and what's unique about Adepticon, because even though it is centered around the tabletop and 40K universe, there's like three, dare I say, major factions going on there. It's not just a singularity con, like, oh, it's, you know, Comic-Con. So it's all there for comic entertainment and, you know, television stuff. It's tabletops to include most of, like, the latest games. So Infinity, Star Wars Legion, Shatterpoint, the Marvel games, some of the card games and shit like that. Mm-hmm. BattleTech, if you guys are familiar with any of those. And then, of course, 40K. So the big heavy hitter, and then old world, which is 30K. And then on top of that, you have just the whole culture of miniature painting, because most of these guys have to have painted minis to play the games anyway. But there's people that just like to paint minis. And then another step further is also where they host Golden Demon, which is Games Workshop's version of GBWC. It's where they host their products and let artists enter in GW specific items, so like Age of Sigmar, 40K, the Middle Earth collection for Lord of the Rings and stuff like that, and some of their other properties, and they showcase them and everything. And you can,
if I may, Kyle, like, so this competition, right? You said, because you said it's equivalent to GBWC. Is it just all over the U.S. or is it more? Is it a worldwide thing?
There are three locations in which they host Golden Demon. And mind you, I'm speaking very naive or very amateur on the information I have. But I believe of this year, there are three locations. The U.S., so this is the Chicago. There's one in Germany. And I believe the U.K., I could be wrong about that. Maybe it's not this year, but typically they do host it in the U.K. So there's three locations. Those are three separate events. It's not like GBWC where those three locations are part of the overarching competition, which they'll compete at Worlds. No, if you win at that event, you win at that event. That's like just where you can go to win to participate in 2024's Golden Demon. I think it's the main hub, and then Germany is in October or August this year. And that's like a different leg. So like, let's say you get a commemorative pin, you don't actually win a trophy. You can go to Germany and re-enter your kit. But if you win in Chicago, you win. That's it. You've won for that year. And there's tiers to it. So you can do commemorative or – so actually, I'm going to backwards. It's going to be a little bit of a tangent, so ride with me. So the way Golden Demon works is you submit your entry. You don't automatically go in the case. You have to have a certain qualification, like meet a certain standard to then make it to the case. So that's one obstacle, I should say. It's like a preliminary round. Then from there, you do the whole judging in your categories, and each category has their own gold, silver, and bronze demon trophies. And you can win commemorative, which means like you did a good job, but you didn't place. Bronze, silver, and gold in each of those categories. Now, amongst all the categories, then all the gold place winners will compete for the Demon Sword. And that's like the gold trophy for winning worlds at GBWC.
Yeah, it's your best in show.
That's a big deal to win the Demon Sword. And so essentially that was hosted this weekend as well. So like I said, there's three major things that happen in Adepticon. You've got a celebration of miniature painting. Because like literally they had paint stations set up everywhere. You couldn't go anywhere in the convention without seeing a little table with just free paints or just lights that they can use for your own time, and then just people painting. Just going down, they had like monument paints you can try. They had Citadel. They had some other ones. They had Chimera. They had Army Painter. And they were just out and they said, hey, here, try our paints. Just make sure you put them back. It was great. And
any people
just
going 75 down hanging out?
No, not all the major paint brands, just a couple of the heavy hitters. And actually, I was so glad I tried Monument Paints because I've been on the fence about them, and I'm thoroughly impressed. Like they're nice paint to play with in terms of hand painting. I don't think I'd want to airbrush with them, but I'm fine with lacquers. Mm-hmm. I don't need an alternative to that. But you got people painting, and you got people playing games, and they have like the major tournaments, and then after hours, it's just a free for all where people can just play games with friends and stuff up to a certain point at like midnight. And like it's such a huge like coming together. It's great. I can see why people catch COVID at places like this, because everyone's just throwing it up. Like everyone's close. They're all having a good time. They're hugging. They're just shaking it up. Close quarters tends to breed disease, but who cares if you're having a good time? Like it was, I've been to many different types of conventions, from, you know, obviously going to C2E2, going to Fan Expo, going now to Adepticon, having gone to SCGMC, having gone to local GBWC events as well as IPMS events, with the exception of Nationals, but I would assume Nationals is of equal. It's always great going to those events because you always feel like it's like going to Disney. It's the happiest place on earth. Like you were having the time of your life, whether you know people or not, just because that's the air about the place. Like people are just happy to be there. They're all kids in the candy store. Like, oh my God, I don't get to like geek out like this. Like they're being their genuine selves. Everyone's super friendly, super mm-hmm. helpful. Like I said, like it's like a big family reunion. It's fucking amazing. And I think you that's know, Kyle, the common thread.
I'm getting the same vibes from the way that I felt last year when I attended the MFCA, the Miniature Figure Collectors of America mm-hmm. show.
Yeah. MMSI is like that as well. Yeah.
Yeah. They're also, well, MMSI and MFCA are like kind of like sister, if you want to call them that or whatever. They're related. Yeah. Right. Because Barry and Jim run the show in Chicago. And then out mm-hmm. here, it's Jack and Dennis. Hosts of my club in MFCA down by Philly.
He's kind of the one that originated kind of starting this whole
and a couple different things to talk about, because that show is coming up soon, which is really rad. But I wanted to say, talking about Adepticon, that my contemporary and sort of newish friend buddy from the hobby club, the Miniature Figure Collectors of America, Martin mm-hmm. Orlando, won the second place painters award for the Age of Sigmar at Adepticon.
Nice. That's fucking awesome.
Yeah, Martin is a fucking slayer. He's so very talented and such a really cool guy. I've been really enjoying hanging out with him and my other friend, Justin Ryan, who is from the Modeling Sanity podcast. We're all in the same club. And it's just like shooting shit, talking paint, having fun, building models. We're all doing different things. Like last time we were at the show at the meeting that I was at, Justin was working on a Datsun. I was working on a YF-19 Macross kit, and Martin was sitting across from me working on some elves, some like dope ass, like dark elf vampire things, like crazy shit. He's always doing cool shit. Anyways, I want to say congratulations to him. Don't know that he listens to our podcast, but guy's a great guy, and making cool stuff is fun. Keep doing it, everybody.
Hell yeah. So, but that's okay. Basically Adepticon in a nutshell. I'm very fortunate to live so close to a major event like that, and I'm glad I took the opportunity to do it. I mean, it was great seeing my brother again. I need to do that more. Having a family apart like this kind of sucks, because I really wish I could spend more time with them, because we do have a lot in common. So it was great to be able to do that, and it was a good event. Like So I went Friday and Saturday, but the event runs a total of 4 days, I think, from Wednesday to Sunday. And Saturday, while I was waiting for my brother to finish competitions, I just sat there painting. It was fucking great. Like, everyone was just shooting the shit. The funny is, because everyone was taking up most of the spots, I had like picked a spot behind one of the display tables. So I was like, hey, there's a free chair. I'm going to take that, move it over here, make this situation work. And because of that, people thought I worked there. So they kept asking me for stuff. And I was like, no, go ahead, take the paint. I don't give a shit. Like, I don't really work here, bro. Like, that guy does. Talk to him. That was helpful. And it was just nice. Like, the whole air about the place was just great. And, you know, we're going to talk more about other conventions, but I don't think I've ever been to a convention where I didn't have that same feeling where it's like, I don't know any of these people, yet I feel like we could always just hang out and chill. Like, we'd have a good time. I mean, okay. You guys have been to some conventions. What's it like at those other ones?
Well, before we answer that question, so the reason why I brought up Adepticon, because obviously that's kind of, Adepticon itself is not the topic, but I want to ask you, Kyle, going into Adepticon, I felt like you had like a little bit of a, I wouldn't call it burnout, but maybe a little bit of a
slump,
lack of inspiration. Yeah, slump, right? Slump? Did you?
I mean, I finished a lot of projects. So I was kind of just like, I'm playing video games now.
Yeah, there you go. Okay, so yeah, you were a little okay. Let's say maybe the right word would be you were a little more unmotivated because you wanted to kind of shift a little bit to video games and stuff. So yeah. You managed to get a couple of mini paintings and all that stuff done while you were at Adepticon. Did you walk away from the convention feeling more? Not motivated, but more inspired to try something different, try something new that maybe potentially you weren't really thinking about doing before you went.
Okay, so I forgot to mention this, but I did take a class while I was there. There was a lot of classes. I'm kicking myself for not jumping on it sooner because my brother originally brought this up back in like November. So I had plenty of time to enroll, get my tickets, and then get in some classes. But I got into one. Mamakin, he's British, not really. Okay, he lives in Britain. He's visiting, but he did a class and I took it, and it was basically just like learning about paint techniques and stuff. And it was a really good class because one of the things I have issues with is blending. And I was like, oh, cool, I want to learn how to blend. Like, I'm not really good at stippling. I don't really know how to glaze and stuff like that. And when I took the Jim Rice class, I learned a lot. And I feel like this one also kind of helped me in my painting. Like, one of the hurdles I have is blending, and he kind of gave a tip that, not to say Jim didn't give the same tip, but for some reason it finally clicked in my head, so credit to both of them. Was you build up to a certain point, then you glaze in your mid-tone to then bring the colors again, then build up your highlights even further, and that way it's more cohesive instead of it just being like a very harsh, like, here's your darkest color, here's your lightest color, and no in between. And like, I was really happy to have that class. And I bought a figure and I was showing Julio some of the pictures, and I'm actually in the process of washing it. Don't get mad at me, Pavs, I'm multitasking, but I was trying that and I was like, oh my God, why is it I've been painting this long, and that was the one thing I needed to make my biggest struggle go away. Like, I just had to fucking glaze in between like the third layer and then go even further on my highlights, and it won't look so fucking like blotchy or not. It's like epiphany. So yes, I did walk away. Yeah, like the big ticket man doesn't want you to know about, but I did walk away more invigorated. I mean, I want to get back into painting and working on projects. Mind you, my mind is currently in FF7, and you know, I'm a one track pony at this point with work. I don't really want to overload myself with too much hobby stuff. So like, my notch and build, I'm not going to have it done in time. So I'm not going to stress it. I'm just gonna, you know, do it in my own time. I want to complete it though. I like the concept, but I'm not gonna stress it. But it did. I did. I walked away from it invigorated. Like, I want to get into painting. I want to do those cool things. I always walk away whenever I go to conventions, wanting to get back into the hobby full force. It's one of the hugest.
Kyle, put it together for MSI.
And that's kind of what I wanted to emphasize with this topic. How important stuff like those kinds of gatherings are to people of our ilk, right? Like, we are, like, as creatives, we have the as people in this hobby, we tend to sit down. Say creative.
Hey, some creative? Who
not you guys.
Look, motherfucker.
There's some people. There are some people who just kind of sit here in isolation, kind of, you know, by themselves and doing the hobby, and that's great. That's fine. But it's like it kind of isolates them from the larger perspective or the wider horizons of what this hobby can kind of lead them towards, where they would not usually tread unless they were exposed to it. It's really, I don't want to say that that's the only way to do it, but it's like the easiest way. You know, you go to something like Adepticon, or you go to even like something as small as, I say small, but give me another like smaller convention.
A local IPMS event also.
Yeah, any local IPMS. John Q IPMS. Yeah.
Sure, yeah. Your Joe Schmo IPMS event down in the bingo halls of yesteryear. So you go there and you kind of look around, and you know, you see the things that you've seen before, you've seen the things that you've expected it, and all of a sudden out the corner of your eye you see something that you are not expecting. Whether it's a color scheme, a paint style, a model that's been created in a way that you were not privy to, you know, until you went to that event. And I think people downplay the importance of being exposed to things like that at places like that. And I think we should encourage people to go to these conventions, because I feel like a lot of our experiences now, and I say are because I don't have that much of an experience going to conventions, but you guys do. Like, you know, what kind of things have you guys taken away from those conventions that you didn't when you went in?
So, you know what my biggest takeaway from these conventions are? Crippling debt. Because I buy a lot of shit when I go out there, because there's a lot of cool stuff to buy. No,
that's another thing too. It's really important for businesses, these conventions, for like smaller hobby, not even stores, but businesses, because a lot of them kind of almost establish themselves through this like convention circuit, right? I know Galactic does it quite often. Galactic Toys, Zach and the guys over there tend to go to like the bigger places and set up shop and makes things available to those for those who have difficulty getting some of these things where they were at.
Hell yeah, Zach's great. I was going to visit Zach.
Exclusives.
All right, so it can be a bit of a mixed bag. You have to go into it remembering that, like, no two clubs in the country are going to be the same. So just take that as a very on front sort of deal. Go into it expecting nothing, but be positive and look forward to, like, going for the best parts of the experience. Because it's easy to find bad things and to point out the bad things, to, like, lie hard on the bad things for no reason. But, you know, for me, I have always been able to find cool shit going on, regardless of the fevered egos that might trip around in the background or whatever. Like, there's always great models to look at. The vendor rooms are always good to go and check out. That also ties into the commerce, like Chris was talking about, helping out the small businesses and, you know, just actually talking to the different modelers about the models that they're building. And to the different people that work in the vendor hall as to what they've got, like talk to them about some stuff, like strike up a conversation, find out about something you may not have understood. Like maybe they have like a little thing behind there. Like, oh, I didn't realize you were really into this specific type of model. Like, check this out. I had this kind of like hiding around in the back until I knew someone was looking for something really cool. This is kick ass. And like, holy shit, I didn't even know that this was existed. This photo etch set or this resin upgrade, whatever the heck it is, this is fantastic, you know. And it's a good way to like make friends, you know. That's how you, we live in this weird age now where everybody exists online, and especially after the pandemic, there's this whole like isolationist thing that goes on. We're lucky, you know, this us here on this podcast, because you know we had the opportunity to know each other for a period before everything went to shit. So, you know, we can maintain our friendships. We can maintain this sort of like distant local friendship. But like getting out there, pressing the flesh, so to speak, and getting to meet people face to face, smell to smell, is a whole different animal, right?
Yeah, here's one con tip. And like I said, I've not been to many, but the ones I have been to, please just hygienically take care of yourselves. Yeah. You know, not even just for you guys, because it is important to, you guys don't want to pick anything up. But also for those around you, make it a pleasant time. You know, it literally takes 10 to 15 minutes to just scrub your body. So as Julio would potentially say, as you're walking around, you'll perspire and you'll sweat and you'll create odors, and you're mixing that with other people's odors, and now everybody's wafting around in everybody's ambiance. You know, let's be a little bit mindful.
Yeah. So the funny thing is, the first thing I sent these guys when I walked into Adepticon, so this is like, they're not even opening the vendor room up yet, so games haven't started nothing. I was like, you can smell the smell. It's con. We're at a convention. It's the smell is here. It's alive and well.
And what tip did I give you, Kyle?
I'll cover my nose. I don't remember.
I said face mask. I said a face mask and some like strong chewing gum.
Oh yeah. I just went to open areas. It was great. You go to open areas, it doesn't stink as much.
Sure. I was just living on the subway.
At Comic-Con in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
To not smell the smells of the people.
Popcorn is fantastic. Anyway.
These are my people.
Listen, popcorn is fantastic anyways. We'll not have you slander.
No, but it's used to mask the hygiene.
It's bad, man. All right, so when it comes to stuff like that, and this isn't a convention, but it kind of relates. I don't know. Have I told this story before about being a manager at GameStop?
Yeah, I don't know about the story, but you definitely said you've been a manager before.
Okay, so I was all right. Well, I'll tell the story. If I have told it, stop me, and then I'll just get to the point. But I was a manager at GameStop, and this was roughly around the time of Pokemon X and Y's release. Have you guys heard the story?
Yeah,
I haven't heard shit.
You ain't heard shit. It was around about the time of release for Pokemon X and Y. At that time, midnight releases were still very popular and prevalent. So we had set up a Pokemon midnight release launch, and you know, everything was set up. It was a very pleasant evening. But once the doors opened for the Pokemon fandom to come in and, you know, get their games, they tended to stick around and start playing the games on their 3DSs and all that stuff, which is fine, no problem. But the aroma of that small store, and this is a small store, like, it lingered for a while. And here's the thing. These guys were some of the nicest people I had ever spoken to. All right, because you know a lot of gaming people tend to be quite entitled and not very socially adept, and they tend to be quite rash and a little bit rude. But when it came to these Pokemon guys, they were very friendly. They were, you know, they were singing the Pokemon theme song. They were very much into what was happening, and they were very welcoming to a lot of people who maybe it was their first time going to a midnight release for Pokemon and stuff like that. And that was great. However, it was literally soured by sour smells. So, you know, you want to have a good time, but it's hard to ignore that stuff. So, you know, when you're at a convention or pretty much anywhere when you're in public, just, you know, make sure you're
your asshole.
Yeah. Thank you, Julio.
Put some soap on it.
Not even that. Just make sure the clothes you're wearing are laundered.
Yeah,
clean
your clothes.
I run into that. I've been out at an event or whatever. I'm like, I'm gonna swap over to this cool shirt that I was gonna wear, and then realize like, oh, I needed to wash this shirt before I did anything with it at all, or even thought about it. Just like, mistakes were made. always take an extra change of clothes. Just kidding. You don't always have to carry an extra fucking change of clothes with you guys.
So I'll switch gears because I don't want to keep talking about hygiene. I feel bad.
Yay!
Ah, fucking dirty, stinky motherfuckers. Wash your ass. I'm
just
saying, bro.
Just as a point of thing, even if you don't think you are the problem, which is fine, because you know you might not be
the problem. always believe you're the problem.
Even if you don't think you're the problem, I think it's just common courtesy to just be sure, right? Just take a quick shower or put on some deodorant.
Wash your ass.
Well, yeah, sure. Yeah. Okay, so let's switch now. Let's switch lanes. We're going to go to the far left of this highway.
Yeah, Brian. Actually, I got another thing to talk about here, real quick. Before you go left about hygiene. Last year, I went to the MFCA show, and my hotel room had a broken shower. So I tried to shower. It was not functional. I was not able to shower. So I still was able to bathe. You can do it. I beseech you. You have a vessel of water. you can clean thyself.
Yeah. It's not hard.
Nope. Anyways.
Okay. That's actually a pretty good segue, Brian. You were at MFCA last year.
Yeah.
And you went in. You went in as enthusiastic as you normally are. Your energy levels.
I went in blind as fucking, like, hating the world, and I was enriched. And
hold on.
Yes.
In terms of your hobby, you were energized. You were,
always energized. Yeah, man, I'm a crackhead.
But after the show, after that convention. Uh-huh. You went in like you had taken two shots of Monster Energy, plus your usual 14 cups of coffee.
My usual vim and fervor.
Vim and fervor, you were incredibly motivated to create, to build, to see all these things, and you had been welcomed into this new community that. Not only relates to your current hobby, but now has opened your avenues to new ones. So I kind of want you to talk about your experiences there and what kind of avenues it's opened for you.
Wow. Well, that's a big topic. It's a good one, though. I'm currently trying to glue very delicate pieces of wire to plastic, and it doesn't want to go. Sorry, guys. MFCA. I wasn't going to go. I was in a fucking funk. Floyd has been trying, Floyd fucking Bazin, God bless that man, has been trying to get me to go to different shows for years. The Long Island show, the Newark show, just anywhere around. Just do something. Get out there. Show your shit. Make good stuff. You're having fun. Go have fun. And I was like, eventually I was like, fuck it. Let's do it. See what this is about. This sounds fun. Barry's into it. Barry Bettinger out from, out in, Utah. And a few other people. And I was like, I'm just going to give it a shot. Fuck it. Caution to the wind. I need to do something. Let's do something different. And it was a beautiful weekend. And I didn't know what to expect when I walked in. And it was absolutely nothing what I would have ever expected. But it was everything that was awesome and valuable about a hobby modeling experience. Yeah, it's a different genre from stuff that I mostly dealt with. Like I brought down a bunch of robot stuff. I brought down the Hoverbug and that was it. But we're talking about miniature figure painters for the most part. So it was all sorts of different kinds of hobby scale modeling, but it was focused almost essentially on doing figurative work, expressive painterly pieces of art, fantastic stuff. Yeah. And box dioramas. Right. Because like Kyle touched on for a half second, the Shep Payne and the box dioramas. Hell yeah. Cool stuff. Which actually, I'm starting to feel like I might need to want to make a box diorama. I have some ideas. But whatever. Anyways, I enjoy it and I appreciate the art and the way that it brings storytelling into the scale forum. And there's a lot of cool things you can do with it. Walking into the spot, just like it's a regular hotel, it's a regular convention. You're going, you pay your dues or whatever to get into the spot. You register your models, you go set some stuff up. But it was just like, I don't know what it was, because the space wasn't overtly huge. It's a good sized spot. Great to display every stuff. Lots of room to walk around and not like run into people or knock stuff over per se. And the show runs from Friday into Saturday. And just like, I don't know what it was. I mean, maybe it was like just like the energy in the air, or just like, or just like the people that I was interacting with, which is different than some of the other stuff that I've been a part of or like that I'd seen. And it was just very refreshing. And then also just the quality and the difference, the variance of different elements, you know, because it's not all, you know, we get used to going to shows or participating in competitions like where we're all building the same theme thing, whatever it's on, like online, or even if it's in person, but most of the time it's online stuff, like building, everyone builds a Zaku, you know, everybody builds a whatever the fuck it is, right? Or even GBWC, you know, you're all building robot mecha things, right? But it's also kind of a little bit disjointed, you know, it isn't very interpersonal unless you're like there in Japan for the big show at the very end of it. The remote stuff, at least here in the States, the way the remote stuff tends to go seems to me to be a little bit like a little bit standoffish. I want to say the year that I went, was it 2019, Julio, where it was like the whole like East Coast modeling squad was there at the Javits for the show. And it was like, it was epic. Like that was actually pretty fucking epic. East and West. Mm-hmm. That was pretty tight. But for the most part, like, the, like, let's say, Julio, you've been to IPMS Mosquito Con, which is coming up here in a couple of weeks. It'll probably already been gone by the time this episode comes out. But that show, it's kind of clicky, right?
Yeah.
And yeah. Some of that is like they're not used to the robot modelers, and the robot modelers aren't necessarily used to the normies, for lack of a better term. Normals. But I feel like that's kind of, it's kind of been changing a little bit as the years have gone by. I mean, as especially since, like, you know, the robot modelers go in and stack up four or five kits deep, you know, like next to next to next to next. And like, you know, you'll get 10 tanks or something. But that's, you know, just changing in demographics and stuff like that. However, at the show, like Miniature Figure Collectors of America, regardless of whether it was a flat or a bust or a original sculpt or a like a mecha thingy or a tank or guys doing historical miniature figure diorama like style stuff, like large style stuff, like all sled figures, like all sorts of crazy things. There's like all this different like valuable art and creative stuff to interact with and to experience that I never really had the opportunity to experience in person before. So I feel like that was probably why it was that culture shock. Like I got to see a whole other side of everything. It was like, I was like looking on the other side of the curtain, you know, that was there that we're like, I think that's a curtain. I feel like that's a curtain. Looks like a wall, but I feel like it's a curtain. And literally it was just like, yeah. So I'm hooked on that, and I'm hooked on the crew of people. And I want to keep doing everything. So it's actually broadened. You're right. Like you had said, Chris, it did open up a lot of different avenues for me for creative expression. I started buying figures. I started thinking more globally and less focused and like wanting to do more expressive interpretations of everything that I enjoy instead of just kind of, I was focusing almost, you know, a little bit. I was kind of getting out of it, but focusing mostly on like robots almost up to point. And then I kind of fell off. You talked about it, Chris. Like I went away, and then I only built like airplanes and like cars and tanks and shit for a little while. And then I came back for a second. You said, you know, earlier, I think it was the season, but the MFCA show last year helped me kind of like re-understand a thing that I had kind of fallen off of. The drive that I have for my creative expression, and then like my want to experience and interact with multi-level and multi-form, you know, media, whether it be like box diorama stuff or regular large scale diorama stuff or figurative stuff or like expressive sculptural things, or, you know, it's really this kindled or that helped rekindle some of that exuberance and helps me to stay on top of my unending fount of words. Baby.
Well, I was saying, you kind of, so I think it's really important too, because like not only were you exposed to those different types of art forms, which has now expanded your horizons on terms of like what you can actually make and kind of create a fusion of your current art form and the new things that you saw, but you were exposed to also different minds that thought differently from you and had a different process from you. And you were able to kind of pick their brains as well as they were able to pick yours and kind of have that discussion of, okay, well, you're doing it this way. Like, and I do it this way. Why, you know, I kind of want to try your way to see what that's like and vice versa. And that's kind of something you don't get when you're just kind of talking to people online, because it's hard to convey or communicate that process to somebody through text or sometimes even through like live streams. It's hard, man. Like I remember somebody had asked me like, well, how I'm able to choose kind of the colors I choose for builds and stuff, and how I'm able to get like the subtle differences in terms of contrasting between like the colors that I have. And I remember sitting there, and this was through a DM, and I was sitting there kind of trying to figure out how to type this up and realizing that, okay, if I try to analogize what it is I try to do whenever I paint or I build, it doesn't make sense when I write it down, and it makes more sense when I'm conveying that kind of that experience when I'm talking to somebody. So these kinds of gatherings, I think, is super valuable when it comes to thinking that that maybe it's time to expand and see if I can go for a different form, or you do the same kind of builds but through a different medium. I think it's super understated like how important stuff like that can be.
Agreed.
I ain't going to no more. Fuck that.
Well, I was about to come to you.
I ain't going no
place. Because the one place I know, Julio, you went to and got ridiculously both very high and very inspired, was SCGMC.
Nah, I didn't go there.
Yes, you did. I saw you there. You were wearing some jorts.
That was some other fucking guy.
You were wearing a black t-shirt in like 80 degree heat.
That was comfortable.
Is there any other color with t-shirt? I don't know. I've never seen that.
I don't know.
I have a red shirt and a blue shirt.
All right. So I went. So you, me, and Kyle all went to SGMC a couple years ago, and we've spoken about that at length in previous episodes. So I don't want to get back into that. But what I want to get, what I want to ask you guys, and especially you, Julio, is I know you went in there and you saw the builds and you thought the builds were cool, right?
Yeah, there's some decent stuff for the most part. There.
Yeah, they were great. I went there, and the build, I am in agreement with you, like the builds are good. But it was the discussions I had with the people around me that made me feel like I was motivated to build more. Or build at a different level than what I was, and I wanted to figure out how to do that. What was it like for you? Was it the builds or the people?
It was probably the people. I don't want to give them too much credit because then they get full of themselves.
Yeah, fuck those guys.
Yeah, fuck those guys. I just wanted to, the first day I saw everything, I just wanted to smash all these fucking builds and break everything in that auditorium. You want to
so you want to have sex with all those builds?
No. Oh,
wild.
No. I'm take a baseball
bat. I want to smash those builds, dog.
Go crazy. be in the news.
Why did you want to smash the belts?
Just because. No. For the sake
You are such a fucking bad liar.
For the sake of chaos, you know, anarchy. Just break everything. Yeah, fuck it.
They'll make me fucking bring democracy to you, Julio.
You can't bring democracy to me, Brian.
Oh, can I? Can I not?
No.
Right.
How are you going to bring it to me? In a box?
Am I going to bring? Oh, no. With great vengeance and furious anger.
He's going to hit that DDR code. Left, left, right, up, up, down, left, right.
Jesus. Nah, it was fun. Going to a convention definitely makes you want more. You just want more conventions. You want the fun times to keep on rolling. You get addicted to it. And then you have to go to some fucking meeting because you're chasing this dragon for the rest of your life. You're never going to hit that shit.
And they're like, hi, my name is Julio. And they're like, hi, Julio.
I've been addicted to conventions for 5 years now. I like them. But they'll never be as good as the first one, man.
Yo, I don't know what it is. You ever suck dick to go to conventions?
Actually, Julio, what was your first convention? And what was your takeaway from it?
Shit, I don't know. It was either like the first convention I went to see and experience like modeling in general was probably like 2019, or was it? It was like the end of 2018.
2018, you would have went to Anime NYC when I met you with Manny. Yeah. At GBWC. That was the first year I entered GBWC.
And I was looking at all the goodness there, and I was like, oh, man. This is so
It was the first time I met. Yeah, it was the first time. Because I met Manny through Ryu Young Hobby Shop, where I kept crushing him in all the monthly competitions. This motherfucker right here. But I got to know because Manny's fucking amazing, you know. Yeah. And then we became friends, and he introduced me to you, and we became friends. Easy to be friends.
And then 2019 is when I entered. I was like, oh, I got to be in here. So it was like, it was a group modeling meetup at a big like comic book convention, which is a little different than like a Mosquito Con or Adepticon type shit. It's like, that wasn't the main focus there.
It's a little less focused, right? Because like you've got different mediums now, way different mediums there.
Yeah, I remember this one chick. She was wearing some getup. And she was sitting there with some custom Gundam she made. And I was like, what the fuck is that? And she was like, you like that? I made that. I was like, that is fucking cool. And I walked away. Don't know who she is. It was a cool fucking Gundam. Like, she made some really cool looking shit. And she was just sitting there with it on, like, a little stool.
Yeah. Oh, dude. Okay. So here's another kind of con tip. And this is kind of a silly thing to do, right? Because I'm sure anybody who's gone to one... not immediately, but at least visits this place at least once. I implore you, all right, this might not be like a vendor place, it's not technically a vendor place, but visit Artist Alley or the equivalent of at your conventions. So this is where this might be the one time any artist is able to kind of display and show off their art, you know, for the public to see. And some of this stuff is far and away some of the best things I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Right? Really, like, really cool stuff. Yeah. Some of the most creative.
I still have to go confront Robert Liefeld.
Do you think he's an artist, Alice? Do you think he still goes to this?
He's been there.
Yeah, he's doing signatures if he's there.
Oh, yeah, he's totally around. He's not going to fucking remember me, but it'd be funny. Be like, hey, Rob, what's up, man? You block me on all platforms. About 3 years ago.
Ryan, you won't even make it to the event. You're already red flagged when he shows up. Yeah, so here's my list. It's only got your name on it. Make sure this individual isn't coming to this convention. The
thing is, like, because I'm a sociable son of a bitch and lucky enough to have been interacting with some cool people, I know a bunch of other artists and stuff that are up there just through association or through whatever. So, like... It's like, they can't. I'm not on a list. Come on.
You should send him a Discord.
This is Rob Liefeld. He makes $1 million.
I am one of those fun people that exists in a bunch of circles, but like not on the surface. I just chill in the wings. and having fun, doing my thing, not going to change. This is my circle right here.
This is my circle.
Sideway circle.
It's my sideway circle. Would that make it like oval?
Check this out.
Sideway circle. What is that?
See that, right? That's my extra. That's the extra notch in hand.
Oh.
It's the hand that's being repaired.
Oh,
by the,
that's cool.
By the worker man. I can't stop building shit.
Okay, so I want to emphasize that going to Artist Alley is really important because it's also one of the ways that artists can expose themselves to other artists, which is not in that way. Not in that way.
Louis C.K. kind of way? Or,
No, I knew you guys. Well, it was consent. But no, that's not what I'm trying to say. What I mean is... kind of have to think about it at least in modeling terms, right? If you go to one of those IPMS shows or any kind of locals that you guys have, like you're exposing your art to other artists, and in turn you're kind of melding that pot. Artist Alley is very similar to that, where other artists start to kind of pick up on styles that they may not potentially have had exposure to before, and it helps kind of grow and expand, and in turn that also gives their art more deeper meaning. It gives them an evolution of their style. And I think going to Artist Alley as a model maker, it gives you, for me, it gave me a million ideas in terms of like, okay, well, color schemes, like, you know, the colors that some of these artists use is like the bold strokes, I wish I could remember some names off the top of my
head. Exposing, right, stroking. What's going on in Artist Alley?
You tell me, man. It's a real orgy of art over there. So
weird conventions
here, bro.
Those are creative mispronunciation.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, you guys have anything you guys want to add to convention stuff?
Go to conventions. Bring extra money. Bring extra deodorant.
Because you're going to sweat.
You're going to fucking sweat, man. You walking around. Bring comfortable shoes. Take a lot of pictures.
Cash is king.
Yeah. Bring cash.
Tax man can't chase the cash flow.
Bring water.
Yo, yeah. Hydration.
Yeah.
Need coffee. I always do that. I always bring a full ass thermos and an extra travel mug of coffee.
Bring a bag or a cart or something, because you can be buying a bunch of shit and you don't want to hold in your hands. Put it in a bag.
Extra stuff to carry stuff out. Like if you bring models in, think. Okay, so if you're going to go to, here's another one, guys. Like if you're going to go to a show like this, like let's say Mosquito Con's coming up here. Like I said before, this is going to already be passed now, but it's coming up, and a couple of things. Think about plan your event. Think about the models that you're going to bring. Don't bring too many models. Always try to plan your packaging for your shit. If you're going to have to travel a distance, you're going to want to make sure that your model makes it there and it's safe. Everybody has to do it, but nobody wants to have to repair a model or, you know, help a friend repair a model at the show. It's always like a rough thing to have to do.
I experienced that shit. It's not good.
Something that I thought of.
You had a glue in it, and that one won too. Your Grim Reaper Leo.
Yeah.
We fixed it and it won.
Yeah.
There you go.
Cross country ass fucking builds traveling. Yeah, you're right. You're right, Brian.
No, yeah. I mean, I sent a model out, or a few models out to California for Xavier, and Armida grabbed them and set them up for me. And one of them was broken and she had to repair it for me. Like, that's rough, having someone else repair a model to go on display, you know, at a function when you're not, you're in, you know, on the other side of the fucking country. It's rough. But what I was going to say is that so last year, Julio and I escaped the main group of people and had lunch at a bar, like at the bar in the restaurant. This year, I'm going to call them this coming weekend and let them know the following weekend there is going to be an inordinately large lunch rush. because it's going to be this only like the only bar restaurant in the hood by the convention place. Yeah. And they're always fucking slammed by us hungry, thirsty modelers, rowdy modelers. And I don't want people, you know, you want it to be a good experience all around. So I think that like if I can give them a heads up, be like, hey, guys, not for nothing, going to be a larger lunch rush. You may want to put an extra person on staff for the that lunch rush or something like that, or be prepared for there to be a lot of, so you guys aren't overwhelmed. Because everybody, I mean, like, you know, a good experience, if they have extra staff, they're going to make more money because things are going to work smoothly. The tips are going to be better. Everybody's going to be happier. It's just a better experience all around. Now, not you can't normally do that, but like I'm in a specific experience where I think I or a, not experience, but position where I think that I can affect the situation positively because it's really a shoehorn. Like there's really only one outcome. It's not like I'm going to call a fucking Arby's like, hey, Arby's, where's the meat?
Give me like, the meat. You heard about this meat mountain shit?
Oh, God, no.
They put every meat they have in the store on a bun, and you can eat it.
Oh, my God. What? Carry it around for 3 years before you even come close to passing it.
I want one.
feels like razor blades in your stomach. Like,
oh, my fuck, God.
Fuck off. Like, I'm sorry, no, not to you, man, but seriously, like, oh, jeez. What a world. Another thing, conventions, prep. I'm always down to the minute. I talked about packaging my shit, talked about us like trying to get your ducks in a row before you go there. Definitely do plan your travel ahead of time if you can. It's easy to let that stuff slide. It's easy to let deadlines slide. And make sure that if you're going to be prepping to go to a convention, that you're, you know, staying within your, as much as I hate to say it, within your lane. I know, trust. But like, make sure that you can accomplish what you're trying to accomplish. Don't over, you know, don't take a big old bite of that porterhouse and realize that actually you needed to go take a shit. Because like, you're not going to be able to chew it properly and swallow it down before you have to go do the other thing. You know, that's a horrible analogy, I realize. But, you know.
Brian, what experiences have you had?
It is a... I like steak, and I often have to go to the bathroom. I don't know. What do you want me to say? What I have more experience with is thinking that I can accomplish more than is even possible. So meter your expectations and definitely don't overextend yourself. Like, it's supposed to be an enjoyable experience. And if you're stressed and fucking mad at stuff and rushing through something at the last minute, you're not going to enjoy the other side of it. And as painful as it might be to our little fragile fucking egos, I know I have a fragile fucking ego that, you know, no, not everything is going to be perfect, and it's okay if you don't take all the cars that you built this year to the show or have half built or whatever the fuck it is. You know, it's like, it's fine, like, have a fun time. You know,
have a good time.
Wow. Here, I'm like trying to be like at least semi philosophical and like realistic about something. You're like, oh, I have a good time. Fuck off, man. What the fuck? What the fuck is that?
It's the outro. Family Guy.
I know it is. Have a beautiful time, is what he says. Have a beautiful time.
It's better when you say it, Brian.
Yeah, I know.
Have a good time.
It's bad. Yeah, I know.
So
when I was a little kid, I used to do nothing but practice like weird bad impressions. Like, it's the most, it's so bad. It was so, but I was a little white kid in a tiny little town in the middle of fucking bumblefuck nowhere, Iowa. Like, what did I had television, and I had like my parents, which were easily amused by my humor. So I'm grateful for them. But at the same time, They're racist. For the time, it was the style at the time. Not proud of it.
Yeah, yeah. Fucking hysterical.
The proper context, yes. Potentially. Also anyway. Potentially problematic.
So, what's our takeaway here?
Go to conventions. Have a good time. Yeah, embrace your passions, your hobbies, your nerdisms, and share that with other people. If you go by yourself, that's cool. I've been to many conventions by myself, and I've still had a good time just absorbing the atmosphere, being around like-minded folk. But if you have Suck people that would possibly be interested, twist their arm and have them join you, because things are better when you share it with others. So, dude, you know, if you can do it with others, like when we went to SCGMZ, that was a fucking blast. Core fucking memories right there. We got to do it again, Brian. This time we'll be.
It's going to come. Yeah. Me, Julio, the whole gang. Everyone's going to come through. It's going to happen. I don't know.
Brian, if you can tell Julio that you need to come to Adepticon one of these years as well.
Oh, that'd be rad.
Sitting I'm going here to painting and shooting this year with each other would be fucking awesome.
I want to go to MMSI this year. It's in the end of October. Yes, so I definitely want to go to MMSI this year because I'm not going to Natty's in Madison.
And yeah, MMSI is the next best thing.
It's gonna be, we should do that too. It's not even the night. Don't even. How dare you say that?
It is the better thing is what I meant to say.
There you go.
The far better thing.
My boys Barry Bettinger and Jim DeRogatis and come on through here. We're gonna fucking have us a little bit of old school Jersey talk on you. Barry's gonna be like, "Heavens to Murgatroyd."
Heavens to Murgatroyd.
But it's gonna be great, and yeah. I feel like I've been there 2 years in a row, and having taken a painting class this last time, I'm gonna bring paint with me, and we're just gonna shoot the shit while we're waiting between shows. After we see like all the kits and the ooh and ahs, if we just got downtime, let's just find a corner and fucking paint, because having seen that at Adepticon, we need that at MMSI. Mm-hmm. That was fucking amazing just to be able to sit somewhere, and there was already stuff, there was equipment. I mean, obviously that's a bit much to ask for equipment, but yeah, it was just fucking awesome.
Actually, you know, Kyle, you bring up a cool point. Monument Hobbies recently released a product that's like these travel bags for
looking to buy one, but they're expensive.
They're super fucking expensive. Yeah. So I have something that isn't that, but it's something else. It's for makeup. Right. And it's not as expensive, and it has like modular compartments inside of it. And so what I currently have in there now is all of my different figurative stuff in various different scales, all kind of like neatly packed away and carefully stowed in this case, which is the size of a medium sized briefcase. It's not very big at all. Mm. So having something like that to take with you, with me, for that matter, with some of my scale 75, some Zenithal already appreciated. I've got my
scale, you know, 75.
And then some brushes.
Yeah. Bring some figures that we just want to fucking paint.
Yeah, right?
And Pabs, you're coming with us. You're coming to MMSI this year. At least for Saturday.
Hey?
You're coming to MMSI. That weekend already happened. The 2024 Adepticon is done.
I'm not Adepticon. I'm talking about MMSI.
Oh, MMSI.
In October. You got October 21st.
You got time.
Is October 18th through the 19th is the main show, so that's Saturday and Sunday.
There you go.
Either or B Square.
Oh, God. Okay. All right. Well, I guess.
Come on. I've been telling you to come every year, and you're like, I'm busy, or I forget until like the day of. But bring a model, too. Like, they appreciate Gunpla. They really do.
Yeah, we're going to bring Gunpla through. We've got to bring Four Horsemen, Julio. Yeah, Julio, we should try and go. You should try and come with me, man.
Yes, Julio, bring it. Now you have a reason to finish war.
SSM and I.
Easy tiger. You're getting weird on your spellings there, homie. He's like S E M E N. Wait a minute.
M O U S E.
Semen mask. Wait a minute.
R E S P L M N O P.
/NSFW.
O S C A R M E Y E R.
My Oscar Mayer, I love it. No, but seriously, Julio, you and I, we could split a room, take a short trip back to see my folks.
Yeah, I'm down. I want to go to that X-Men arcade that's out there.
Oh yeah, I know where it is.
Oh, it's, you want to go to Galloping Ghost?
Yeah.
Oh,
go play that arcade shit. It looked cool, man.
Because the Emporium's got
a bar arcade.
Yeah.
Arcade.
Well, the Galloping Ghost is America's largest arcade place.
Oh, how come Peps, this entire time you've not invited me to the Galloping Ghost? I helped you build a bookcase. Where's my invitation to the Galloping Ghost? I want to go. Let's
go. I haven't been to Galloping Ghost since 2015, 2014. Oh, see, like that.
Then we have to do it.
Paint hasn't even dried on the bookcase. And Kyle's like, I helped you build a bookcase. You didn't invite me.
I do want to go. I mean,
the iron is hot.
If all of us are going to go to MMSI, then I think it's a good idea. We should pay a visit to Galloping Ghost Arcade.
Okay. Right. I like that plan.
We got to make sure we got time. We got to make sure we schedule it all so everything's in order so that, Julio and I work together. We're integral cogs in the machines of life.
Big old cog.
So yeah, put that PTO in October 18th and 19th. So obviously you're gonna have a travel day in the beginning and the end. So go from there.
Sure.
Yeah, it'll be a good time. We'll figure it out. All right. We're a little long in the tooth here, so
it'll be a good time.
Takeaway, please. If you guys have the opportunity to go to any of these events, conventions, local IPMS events, any of your local stuff, mm-hmm. if you mingle and all that stuff, eventually, your inspiration will grow, it'll flourish, your horizons will be expanded exponentially if you go there with the intention of doing so. If you're going there because you want to buy the exclusive con model or whatever it is, maybe that might not be the same, and your goals might not align in that same sense. But if you pay a visit to Artist Alley, if you go to any build events during these conventions, like Kyle said, he went there to go paint some minis, and he came out of it kind of knowing a little bit more about the blends and
dark enriched
world. Yeah, so
yeah,
definitely definitely give it a shot. I know a lot of modelers tend to be introverts. And we're not asking you to put yourself in a different kind of echelon of socializing, but just go there and expose yourself to what you can learn. Don't go out there and expose yourself.
Yeah, Lord, don't go actualing everybody also. Like, nobody wants you to be out there and be like, actually.
Because
it's expression.
Exactly. Share the wealth and knowledge, but don't be the only one to do so. Partake. So yeah, I think let's leave it at that. I hope this was a good episode for you guys. This was a lot of fun to talk about. Hopefully we're not going to touch up on this subject per se, but we are going to talk about our experiences with conventions and stuff that we visit in the future.
Oh yeah, we're going to recap this year.
Yeah, so we might do like one big convention recap of 2024.
Oh man,
if all four of us are going to be at MMSI, we need to bring recording equipment.
Oh, we could, yeah.
Live recording.
Pretty easily. I mean, it's not that hard, really.
No.
Just bring these microphones, mini stand, good to go.
Yeah. Laptops, you're all good. My thought was going to be that if any of you out there that are listening to this now, if you know about any conventions that may be unheard of or that you want people to draw attention to, go ahead and send those through our various socials or through our email, because we'd love to promote those out there to the world. Get more people, ooh, more contact, right?
Yeah. Speaking of which,
more bodies, more models.
Talk about red. MFCA, MMSI in October, WonderFest or WonderCon. I can't remember which one WonderFest. It is in Indy.
Yeah, Indiana.
In Indy, that's happening in June, I believe.
Okay. That's also very big, too, for sci-fi hobby modeling,
Star Trek and Danger Will Robinson. Yeah.
It's all sorts of like cool sci-fi shit. One thing about it, WonderFest, something that's called WonderFest, like, come on.
Yeah, it makes you wonder.
Man.
Okay. So do you want to throw that wrap? Want to wrap this up? Want to put a little bow on it, Chris?
Well, yeah, I was hoping one of you guys could be like, if you guys have anything else you guys want to say, if Julio had anything he wanted to.
Respect.
To part with. Pausing words.
I'm good.
No, you good? All right. I'm good. Wash your ass. All right.
Wash your ass.
wild.
All right, so
fresh and fruity.
No, that's right, true. We don't do that, do we? We should do a roundtable. We'd be like, as the host, we should be like, Bill Sideways podcast. Hi, my name is Brian, and I'm gonna have to say, definitely. I don't want to say anything. All I can think of is dirty things for some reason.
Well, let me do the rigmarole, and then we'll do like
a condom. Be safe.
Around table sound. Yeah. All right. So there's a couple of people I want to thank. First of all, I want to thank our very generous Patreon producers, I guess you could call them. They keep the lights on, help us pay for the stuff that helps keep this podcast running somehow. No matter what it is we talk about, we tend to be able to at least get it out the door, you know, on time somewhat. I want to thank USA Gundam Store for providing us with these microphones that help us sound great. If you guys listen to our first episode before these mics arrived, oh my goodness, I listened to it recently, and let me tell you, you've gotten a lot better since then.
Oh, you went back in time? Nice.
I went back in time. The who, what, where, and when. So yeah, thank you, Adam and the guys over there. If you ever have the chance to, please go visit them. If you can't, check out USA Gundam Store. They will have everything you need, from models to paint to kits and everything in between, that will help you either bring your kit to a con or, you know, bring your kit to a local and build with them. And also, if you like this podcast, if you like Build Sideways, there are a plethora of different modeling podcasts out there. All you have to do is go to the website Scale Model Podcasts, plural. .com, and there is a conglomerate of different podcasts that talk about different aspects of this beautiful hobby that we have gotten ourselves into, such as the Sprue Cutters Union, the Plastic Model Posse, and Just Making Conversation. So just to name a few, there's a whole bunch more. Yes, there you go. Small subjects. I did say a plethora. They are included in that plethora of aura. All right. All right, and so I think that's about that time. Let's sign off. Once again, we've been Built Sideways. There's Brian, the Bro Builder.
Me. None other than me. I'm here. Sometimes I'm over there.
I'm trying this round table. It's not working. Julio,
gotta watch out.
Bye-bye. Adios.
And Kyle, the Clueless Compa Builder.
Have a good time.
Oh my god. And as always, guys, if you guys want to get in touch with any of us on our different socials, it's bro_builder, clippin'nubs, clueless_gunpla_builder, chris_pabs, and Built Sideways has its own social account, built_sideways_podcast. Or if you guys want to use the traditional route of email, there is the BuildSideways Podcast@gmail.com. If you guys have any questions, concerns, queries about anything that we talk about, please let us know. We would love to interact with you. We would love to talk about any issues or any subjects you guys might have that you want us to talk about. And with that, guys, Build It Sideways. We'll see you on the next one. Have a good night.
Bye. Bye. Oh my god.